Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, so bring your brokenness and now bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, if we're honest.
Let us pray. Oh God, when we allow ourselves to remember, we realize you are always with us. And when we can be honest, when we can acknowledge the ways that we shut you out, the ways that we sometimes don't remember, it gives you that opening to speak to us. As we gather here this evening, let us be in touch with your presence, and as we listen to Matt's words, may we recognize the ways that you surround us with your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me get you set up with that.
This is so I stay on track. I don't really want to read from it, but I don't want to ramble either. So that's there. I guess before I talk, Nai-Chang, your voice is absolutely wonderful. Holy smokes. Talk about a God-given gift. It's just, yeah, it's incredible. What I wanted to talk about, Pastor Phil came to me and he said, you know, we would talk about trust in God, and I was like, well, what do I say? And then I realized, well, my Crucio weekend tied into that quite harmoniously. So I just kind of want to speak to you about kind of the transformation I felt on that weekend, and just my experience of it all. So I didn't even know what Crucio was, to be honest. I just signed up because Pastor Phil and Pastor Laura kind of suggested, and I trust them. And then so I was like, yeah, okay, I couldn't make the April one work because of scheduling. So, I mean, now is a might as well, I guess. The first day I was more focused on the fact that I'd be gone for a whole weekend and that I would be missing time to study, because you're supposed to, you know, give away your phone, your watch, kind of disconnect and reconnect. And that gave me a lot of anxiety, because I was like, well, I got to do my schoolwork. Like, I got to stay on top of it. And so that's where my mind was, more so than anything on the Thursday night when I got there. I was like, okay, well, how am I going to, I wonder how structured this will be. I wonder when I can fit in an hour to read my, you know, history textbook. And that was kind of where my mind was when I went to bed on Thursday night. And I woke up Friday, still very much thinking, I'm like, well, how's this day going to go? And then, I don't want to give away kind of what the day was, but there's these series of talks. And then during the first day, you get a bunch of letters, and it's called palanca. And basically, it's a Spanish word for lever. And so it kind of helps raise any sort of concerns or burdens that you have. And so it's from just an outpouring of love from everybody. And it was very startling. I wasn't expecting it. And it kind of took me out of my mind of, oh, like, I'm missing school time. It kind of like, oh, look at this love that's kind of present in my life that I'm not even kind of actually present to. And that, yeah, it definitely kind of startled me. The rest of the day kind of proceeds normal. I was able to get some time in, and so that was like, oh, okay, I got that in. So I was able to kind of finish an assignment or whatever in a couple-hour window span that I had. And that Friday night, my roommate Doug, super sweet man, but he was the loudest snorer I've ever encountered in my entire existence. Like, I've had some bad people, but like, oh, like I think he has some sort of apnea, so he would stop, and then his body tries to like not die, so it catches all its air back. And just, and then kind of just all shakes, and then I can't fall asleep because I hear this constantly. So I was like, I basically just lied there until my body gave up. When that was, who knows? But when that bell came off in the morning, I was just like, oh, today is going to be miserable. I'm just going to basically wait until tonight when I can go back to bed. And that was very much my mindset. I was like, hey, how am I going to get through today? How am I going to get through today? How am I going to get through today? It's during the afternoon, I went to one of the lay leaders and said, look, I need a nap. I won't be present for the rest of it. And I was trying. I was like, well, I want to kind of be more aware of what's happening and kind of just take in. And so I said, can I please sneak away and give myself a snooze? And he said, yeah, absolutely. You can kind of go away right now. Here's a short amount of time. So I went, I had my nap, woke up, and I woke up feeling very, very hot, and I didn't know why, and I felt extremely warm, just kind of weird. I just thought, oh, maybe I'm overtired, or I'm getting sick, or I don't know what, but it felt odd. And then so I went back, finished the rest of the talks. I got another bag of letters again, just this outpouring of love that really kind of struck me out. And then after the talks, there was kind of a bit of a gap, and then we had this healing service in the evening on that day. And this healing service kind of changed my life. It was, they had stations kind of set up, and you can go one, there's a priest in one, and then another person, and they just put your hands on you, and they pray for you. And then, so they say, you know, you're all welcome to, some of you should, but you don't have to. And so I kind of sat there, and I was like, What am I in that? And I was like, oh, I feel kind of inclined. So I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. I guess I'll go and I'll sit down and I'll get prayed for. And I go kind of to the corner and I sit down. And then I tell him, and the pastor, he asked me, so like, what's on your heart? And I brought forward three things. One was, I have an inability to forgive people. I carry bitterness like a sword, and I wield it, and I was very angry, feeling a lot of anger towards my stepdad, a lot of anger towards my mom, and very just residual, and just kind of builds, and it kind of festers, and it kind of gets misplaced, and it was very much sitting there with me. And I think, yeah, it would have been about 2 weeks before Curcio. Like, I had a really, like, bad conversation with my mom. Like, I was not, I was very short. I was rude. And I don't consider me like myself to be that kind of person at all. And it was very alarming because my mom and I like don't argue or get in conflicts at all. Like my whole childhood, it was, oh, it's always Rebecca and Morgan. I'm like the good kid, right? That's what a story I told myself anyway. And so, yeah, so and then knowing that, and that kind of pertained back to my inability to forgive. And so I brought that forward and I said, look, I have a lot of anger. I can't seem to, my heart feels hardened. I don't know what's going on. The second one I brought forward was just healing for my body and what I've gone through and the treatments that I've gone through and still feeling fatigued. I still forget stuff. Well, even the other day, I went to get a flu shot and I didn't. And then Diana comes home for supper. She's like, hey, did you get your flu shot today? And I was like, oh, no. Like, other people are more, like, aware of what I was trying to do that day than myself, which is pretty bad. And so I was like, man, I'm just, like, my focus is terrible. I'm really tired. And just that anxiety around my health, like, what if it comes back? Always that small little thought that kind of sits there. And I was like, that's kind of, sometimes it comes to go, but it's there. And then the third thing I brought forward was just, I wanted a sense of calmness. I feel myself very busy. I feel I say yes to everything because I have a very tough time saying no. Part of it's because I want to maximize everything I want to do because I realize how much of a gift it is. But the other side of that is I'm a people pleaser. And so I can't say no in a loving way. I got to be like, oh, no, yeah, I'm your man. Without... And then so because of this kind of response that I've had for my whole life, or at least, I don't know, at least the last 10 years for sure, it gets me in a lot of trouble because I can't commit to what I want to. I can't put the time into things I need to. And so I feel and the result of me feeling very hazy. I feel very burdened. I feel very overwhelmed. And like, oh, it's too much all the time. So I brought forward those three things, and I said, this is what's most present on my heart. Tim was to my left, I guess Pastor Sean was to my right, and held their hands, and started praying for me. And he started talking, and I don't know what happened, but I just started crying. I just started pouring out, and it was the words he was speaking. It was resonating so clearly to me in a manner that I didn't actually tell him. Like, kind of what I told you now is kind of what I told him. And then he said this part where it's like, Matt's just tired. Matt's exhausted. He doesn't want to be this angry man. He doesn't want to say yes to all these things. And he's just speaking so much truth that I never said. And I just was so overwhelmed. And then so the tears just start pouring out, and then on the rest of it, I don't even recall, to be frank. It was just, it just kept pouring out, and then Tim starts praying for me, and then he starts saying, oh, you have, like, great plans for Matt, and that's all I remember, it just kept going, because it's always where I see myself, like, oh, what's God's plan for me, like, what am I supposed to do later? And then so to hear those words again, I was just taken back and not overwhelmed, but just overcome. And then so I kind of get that all out. And then I go back to sit kind of in the seating area of the congregation, I guess. And I'm sitting there just trying to collect myself. And then I look up at the cross that was in there. And the thought that just kept running through my mind over and over and over again, that Jesus loves me. And that's, like, I wasn't thinking about kind of what they said. I wasn't thinking about kind of what just happened. It was just this one thought. Like, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Like, me personally. Out of all people and out of everybody. Including each one of you. But I've never have had such a profound realization in my entire life. And it took me back. I just kept crying. And even after that moment had ended where they laid their hands on me, I still was crying. And then kind of like my group of people you spend the weekend with, Brent, he was behind me. He's like, Matt, are you going me to pray for you too? And I was like, yes, please. And then so he prays for me also. And then my other person in the group, Cliff, he prays for me too. And I realized in that love that Jesus has for me, he has never left me. When I was going through chemo, like it was so lonely. Like I would sit in my room for 4 days and not leave and just like pray to God I can get through the day, right? Like, am I gonna live? And I'm having these thoughts and I'm like, what, 22 years old? So I'm just upset and I'm pissed. And I'm like, God, why? Where are you right now? And I had my point prayer journal my friend Arlen gave me. And in it, I wanted to catalog kind of my thoughts as I went through treatment so I could look back on it 40, 50 years from now whenever I'm having a bad day and be like, hey, kind of stop. Things are worse. And in it, every, like, almost whenever time I wrote, I kept asking, like, God, give me strength, give me healing, give me protection. Where are you? Like, just constant cries. And I realized at Curcio that he was right there the entire time. In those tears, in those moments, in those hospital visits, in those moments where I questioned how, that's when he showed up. And I never realized it until that very moment. And then on the third day of Curcio, everything was just, it's like clear when you get like new glasses kind of thing. Everything's brighter. I'm singing louder. Something got lit. It was just this incredible feeling inside that I can't even like touch because it's, like I can't help but smile, but think about it because it's just God's love for me. And that whole weekend, I was like, I never would have been here if I didn't trust Pastor Phil and Pastor Laura. Like, this wouldn't have happened any other way if I just kind of gave up and said, sure. I suppose so. So I have here three scripture passages that one of them I knew kind of just like it's, I have it kind of like ammo in your back pocket or like a defense, kind of like when something happens, you kind of pull out those scripture that's close to you and you're like, okay, like you just really grasp it and it's kind of like your armor. One of these verses is that for me. And the other two, I was just kind of reading and searching, and then there's a common thread amongst all three of that, and that really, I was like, oh, like look at that, that's kind of cool, and I never would have seen it otherwise. So the first one is from Deuteronomy 4, 27 to 31. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors. He confirmed to them by oath. Seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. I have never done that in my whole life. I realized that on Curcio. I did not reach out. I would cry out. he would reach to me and I wouldn't reach back. I kind of stopped short. In that same passage, he will not abandon or destroy you. Wow. Like, it's in scripture. He will not leave. He will not abandon me. I don't have to cry out and be, where's this anxiety? Like, where is he? I lost. It's like, no, he's right there. Third one, or second verse, Proverbs 3:3-6. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Again, it's that same wording. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Like, not a little bit. And that's the thing, is I've always kind of doubted. Like, oh, I got it. I have to do this all by myself. And even as I'm transitioning now, it's kind of more of adulthood and gaining more independence, where it's like, oh, well, now it's families in Saskatchewan. It's all me, Matt. Like, you've done it during treatment. It was all you then. It's going to be all you now. Like, why not? And that's just my own understanding. Like, it's not, he's right there. And you will make my path straight. Like, that's just incredible. And that pertains kind of to my third verse, Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper, plans for you to prosper and to not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And even in that last verse, I've always focused on the first one. Like, I have plans for you to prosper, and that's the kind of, I always kind of just clipped that out. So I was like, oh, you know, things are kind of bad, but I don't know. Things are going to be gravy in 6 months from now. Like, it's all going to, one day it's just going to switch and everything's going to be fine. And then later, and just take a little bit more context, later you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And the fact that that pops up three times is it's profound. And it's something I never would have gotten. And the fact that it's here in the Word, in the Scripture, it's liberating. I can leave my burdens at the foot of the cross. I can leave my brokenness. I can leave my anger and my anxiety and my busyness and my, oh, I need to please people. And all this stuff that I've been carrying for such a long time that's made me feel so exhausted. I can put it at the foot of the cross and Jesus loves me. How cool is that? And he loves me just as much as he loves each and every one of you. Thank you, guys.